Recording.
All right, we're recording in a regular open session, and we are back to section three, or informants. Let's get them in here. This will be 2225. Okay. This is a time and place scheduled for the informal interview of John McWhorter, DVM, in case number 2225. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given it in ARS 322234. Dr. McWhorter, please come forward, introduce yourself, and attorney if represented by counsel.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
John McWhorter.
Thank you, sir. Dr. McWhorter, you've received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include the dismissal, issuing a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, dismissal or placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
The concerns that I...
So this isn't your testimony part. This is if you have any... Here's a photo or a record or...
No.
Okay. So nothing of that now. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it's important that everybody speak loudly and clearly, and only one person speaks at a time. We'll begin by asking the lead board member assigned this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you'll be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Nosley, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes. So on September 1st, 2021, Sadie, a 12-year-old female Labrador mix, was presented to Dr. McWhorter due to lethargy, increased thirst, anorexia, and vomiting. The dog was examined. Dr. McWhorter recommended blood work, administered the dog Depo-Medrol, and the dog was discharged. On September 3rd, 2021, blood was collected for testing. On September 4th, 2021, Dr. Maher contacted the pet owner with the blood results. She reported the dog has an infection and possibly cancer. She recommended starting the dog on antibiotics and having an abdominal ultrasound. On September 8, 2021, the dog had an abdominal ultrasound performed and was diagnosed with a pyometra. Surgery was performed. That evening, the dog was transferred to an emergency facility for continued care and monitoring of persistent hyperglycemia.
Dr. McWhorter, at this time I'd like to swear you in. You solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
Yes.
Thank you. We'd now like to give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
One thing that is not in the information that you have, and I apologize, our practice is in the process of going paperless. I was not able to find the old paper record, but on the first time that pet was presented to Casa Grande Animal Hospital was a no-show for a spay that was being paid for through Valley Humane Society of Casa Grande, and So at that, that was the first entry on the record. I believe this was only the second or the third. So I did realize that when the patient was presented, that the things that could be going on, I asked that we draw some blood and run an analysis on it, and the owners declined. Another point in the, that I have had discussions with the other board on two previous occasions, administering the Depo-Medrol. I changed my my thinking on the use of steroids. I've been doing that since my first appearance, I believe 2 months ago. Then also I would like to add that the previous two board meetings, it seemed to be a big point of discussion of the means of handling cases via rounds, changing doctor in charge, et cetera. When I started that working at that practice 15 years ago, I was told that it was verbal, nothing was in writing. If a record is placed in front of you, labs being completed, then, and that doctor that started the case was not there, whoever got the record was now the doctor of record. That was their case now. I have practiced that way at that location since I started. I do not know if those things were said to new veterinarians in employment at Cass Grant Animal Hospital. We do have a new doctor of record, medical director at Cass Grant Animal Hospital. One of the things that she has instituted is much more of a paperwork trail, information handed out to any new doctor. We've changed the way that ongoing patients are handled. If a doctor has something in process, then they do their best to put ideas into the record system, and if there's another doctor that's going to be there the next day, talk to them directly as to what the process has been going.
Any board members have questions for Dr. McWhorter?
yes, Dr. McWhorter. You told the investigative committee that you were aware that Sadie was intact.
Yes.
It's not in the record, but did you, or maybe anyone on your staff, when taking the history, ask when Sadie's last heat cycle was?
I do not know.
You don't know whether you asked or whether it was asked at all?
When I see that I have an intact female, I always ask that question. Okay. I do not know if it was asked any of the steps previous to my visit.
Okay. But did you on that visit?
As far as I recollect, yes.
Okay.
As I stated, the first record of entry was that they were a no-show for an ovariohysterectomy. When we had the paper records, I tended to go through and review different things that may be going on.
Okay.
Let me throw one in since I don't forget this one I wrote in. That no-show appointment, what time frame was that in relation to the next visit when this all started?
I believe it was over a year.
Okay. That was it.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. On that exam on 9-1, which you felt was, from the record, fairly unremarkable.
Correct.
Some minor things, but unremarkable. And I'm assuming, based on the history then, that you felt something was going on. I think you stated metabolic or physiological was going on, some disease process beginning. So hence you wanted to do the blood work.
Yes, I informed the owner that there was a good chance that, number one, it would show us what was going on, or it would point us in a direction of some other metabolic condition that may be starting.
Okay. And so I think you said to the investigative committee that at that point you had a long list of possibilities in mind.
Correct.
As to what was going on. And could bacterial infection of some type be on that list?
If it was, it would have to have been isolated. There were, as I recall, there was no fever on presentation. But the list of items that the owner gave, at that time we were not seeing patients, we were not seeing clients in the building at that time due to COVID restrictions. Conversations back and forth through the technicians, the list of presenting complaints. Yes, I definitely felt like something was beginning.
Okay, and then with that in mind, could you talk about the decision to, you said that to give anti-inflammatory, to give the steroid, long-acting steroid. Could you expound on your reasons for going ahead with that?
The owner directly told me that did not want to pursue any diagnostics. She wanted her pet to just feel better right now.
So what then, I guess my question is, what inflammatory process were you treating? Or in other words, where was the inflammation you were treating?
She was showing signs of osteoarthritis. There was a decreased range of motion in the pelvis. One knee appeared to have a cruciate ligament damage. It had an anterior drawer motion to it. Definitely there were some inflammatory processes going on, and therefore my decision to use that product.
Versus an NSAID, was that in your thinking or?
Basically the things that I said there is that there's an inflammatory process going on. If there is, prednisone is a great anti-inflammatory that can possibly tell us different ways to go in the long term on the pet's reaction to that product.
Okay. So then moving on to the 8th, this is after the lab work was done.
Mm-hmm.
And you were then presented with a request for some fluids and serenia.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And so you read the lab results. You had the lab results.
Yes, I read the lab results, and I called the owner as well.
Okay.
Asking leading questions. We live in a rural area. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen elsewhere, but we have a number of people that have treated parvo at home with our direction, giving sub-Q fluids. I wanted to make sure that she was adequately versed in that topic. I talked about Sadie. I says, we've got a very high white blood cell count. How is she doing?
Mm-hmm.
And her response was, she's doing okay. She's not drinking very well, but that she was scheduled with another veterinarian at Casa Grande Animal Hospital for an ultrasound tomorrow, the next day. I asked if there's anything else we can do. Do we need to see Sadie before we can get to that point tomorrow? And her response back to me is, I just want to get to that ultrasound and see what cancers that she has.
Okay, so we have the lab results, the high white count, and you discussed that. And you also then, at that point, also had the entries in the record by Dr. Maher, right? Her notes.
Yes.
Regarding her interpretation. And so after your conversation with the owner and you learned about the owner's pursuit of an oncology consultation and the pending ultrasound, did you have a tentative diagnosis at this point?
At that time, yes, I was concerned about pyometra.
You were thinking pyometra at this
Correct.
Point? And I think you addressed this, and it may have changed, but right now, at this point, who was the primary doctor on the case?
The lab was placed back in front of me. I was the doctor.
So
on
then you,
Correct.
Case is back in your hands again. I don't have any other questions.
Did you discuss pyometra with the owner?
I said there's a number of infections that could be going on with that high elevation of white blood cell count. Yes, you would have to include the mention previously by the previous doctor of cancer, but I did say we've got a situation where there is definitely something going on that we need to pursue and as quickly as possible. And I did include the words, the term pyometra with infection in the uterus.
Did you recommend anything else additional that day prior to waiting for the ultrasound, with it being a potential closed pyometra that's been going on for days and a high white cell count?
Yes, I asked her if she would like for us to do a reevaluation prior to the ultrasound, and she said, no, I'm just getting my dog there until tomorrow.
Do you think she understood that there were potentially other causes besides cancer? I know you said that she said cancer, but do you think that she knew there were other potentials?
From talking with Dr. Maher after everything went down, she said that once she was talking to the owner of Rulaus the previous day or two before, that she latched on to the thought of cancer. And in my conversations with the owner, is she even tried to make an appointment with an oncologist, and the oncologist told them that they would not be able to see the pet unless a diagnosis had been made. In my conversations, I mean, she really wasn't listening to anything else other than the word cancer.
And in your experience with closed pyometras, do you feel 24 hours is a acceptable period of time to wait?
No, it's not.
Was that related to her?
Yes. I said there's other possibilities that could be going on besides cancer, and if we are still deteriorating and the level of the white blood cell count is, we need to do some evaluation. I saw the pet, I believe it was on a blood was drawn, I believe, on a day that I was not present. And then the lab work came, or if it was, I was not made aware the dog was in the facility when they came in for the blood draw. When Dr. Maher talked to the owner, I was not working that day. That's why she got the record.
I don't have any additional questions.
Just a couple more. Through this period of time, between the first exam and the surgery, did you and Dr. Maher have conversations about this case?
No. As far as I knew, the day that Sadie was first presented to me, the lab work was declined. I knew nothing else of what had happened. As I said, I did not know that they came back in for a blood draw. I did not know that the lab results were even back until the record was placed on my desk for the request for subcutaneous fluids.
Okay. And back to the initial exam, did you have the ability to do in-house blood work on that?
Mm-hmm. That yes.
Available in the clinic?
Correct.
I believe down the road right before surgery it was done in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So it was available to you.
Yes,
on
it was.
The first day. What about imaging? Was that discussed?
We had x-ray capabilities. There was no one there on that day that was anywhere comfortable with ultrasound.
What about radiographs?
Yes, we had radiographs, yes.
And did you discuss that in the initial exam with the...
Yes.
And they declined that also?
Correct.
I think that's all.
Any other members have questions? Not? Let me step back, please. And we'll now hear from the complainant. Please come forward and introduce yourself.
Taylor Haskin.
Thank you. I swear you in now. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
And you are the complainant in this case, correct?
Yes, sir.
We've read all the materials you provided, and you may address the board.
First, I'd like to thank the board for the opportunity to speak and the care and attention to this matter you provided. I would like to make it clear that when we adopted Sadie, we were not made aware of any appointments made for her to be spayed on our behalf, and we were advised from the shelter from which she was adopted that she was, quote, too old to be spayed. At no point during the appointment was the possibility of a pyometra mentioned. I would like to make it clear that the blood work was not denied and x-rays were not mentioned. I was at work when my mother took Sadie to the appointment and she needed to call me to confirm that the amount for payment for the blood work was in my account before moving forward since I would be the one paying. I confirmed this and we moved forward with the blood work. I would also like to note that I do believe Sadie presented with a fever and this should be recorded in her chart included in the complaint. The ultrasound was only scheduled after I, the client, requested it due to the suggestion of cancer and need for diagnosis. Again, pyometra was not mentioned during any of the phone calls with Dr. McWhorter or Dr. Mayer. During her stay at the emergency bed, she was diagnosed with hyperglycemia, noted in her chart as secondary to insulin resistance due to pyometra and or glucocorticoids. She will need treatment for the rest of her life for this condition. I do not feel that Casper and Animal Hospital took my concern and urgency seriously and did not convey the appropriate level of urgency or thorough attention to Sadie's care that was required. I would also like to note that I do not submit this complaint in an effort to tarnish reputations or disrupt livelihoods, but to ensure another beloved pet and family don't experience what mine did.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for the complainant?
So it was your mother who took Sadie in initially?
Yes, she took her appointment.
Are you pretty comfortable and confident that your conversations with her are what took place in that exam room?
Yes.
And regarding the denial, declining the blood work, I understand that was because you needed to give permission for that. And was that expressed? Did your mother say that she expressed that to the doctor or just, I decline it?
Yes, so she let them know that she would have to call me and see if I wanted to move forward with the blood work and if I had the funds to move forward with the blood work. She called me and explained the situation, explained that they were suggesting blood work, and I said, yes, that's fine, go ahead and do that. She had my card with her to go ahead and do that. So it was kind of a pause to confirm and not a decline.
So when did she call you?
She called me directly following the appointment.
Right after the appointment?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's all I have for the...
Any other members have questions?
But the, after the blood work was done, when you were requesting the fluids to do at home, like I think it was the day prior to when you had the ultrasound scheduled, was pyometra discussed at that point?
No.
And was it discussed on the initial phone call about the blood results?
No, the word pyometra was never used.
And are you familiar with what a pyometra is?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I guess one question just popped up. Before this case, could you have given me the definition of pyometra?
Yes.
Okay. Any other members have questions? Seeing none, you may step back. Dr. McWhorter, do you have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
Thank you. No, just going back to the, I believe you have a copy of the paper records. On 9-1, when presented, the body temperature was 102.1.
Any board members have more questions?
I have one. You had mentioned that you had, talked to the mother about there could be other things going on. Were other treatment plans and diagnostics presented at that time for the option of pursuing additional diagnostics at that time, surgery?
With the mother, I just presented the estimate of the of things that we can do to point us in the direction of what may be going on.
Which were?
The blood work.
And that's it?
Correct. Radiographs were not mentioned until the time that I talked to her the day before the ultrasound.
Okay. Any other board members have questions?
When you typically talk to an owner about different conditions that it could be, do you document that in the record? Because I'm looking through to see if it, during this fluid appointment, if I see anything about pyometra, and I'm not seeing it. So would that typically be something you would include?
At that time, I do not think I wrote everything down exactly in particular. And it's not an excuse. At that point in time, we were heavily over presented with cases. I'll put it that way. Did I write all of those down? I do not believe so. But I did list. I did reiterate a number of things that could be going on. But still, the big point through the initial examination, I really was not, nothing, to me, nothing urgent was presenting the case. The pet had vomited, there was no vomiting that day. As I said, the temperature was not elevated. Turning out it was a closed pyometra, but on visual inspection, nothing was noted with the external genitalia at that time, looking for open pyometra. Then the things noted were the cruciate ligament and just the older dog arthritic situations that were progressing.
Any other members have questions? This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. And Dr. Nosley, you are the lead.
Okay. Yeah. I think the broad picture here is that this pet was initially seen on 9-1 and didn't receive what is often considered life-saving surgery until 7 days later. And in that time period, there was the development of worsening septicemia and progression from likely pre-diabetic to diabetic in that time frame. The blood work wasn't done right away, so we had a delay in results. But even from that point, there was the pet didn't receive surgery for 4 days at that point. On that initial exam, what we have to look at is, did this history and signalment maybe steer us in a different direction? I'm not saying that sending out blood work or recommending blood work be sent out by any means was wrong, but we also in this clinic had another avenue of doing some in-hospital blood work, maybe discussing radiographs, and seeing if you can get that okay. That wasn't done. No one asked when the last heat cycle was. The symptoms of polydipsia, that's really important when you're faced with an intact female dog, older dog that is experiencing polydipsia. Dr. McWhirter didn't have any blood work at that time, didn't have any fever. His abdominal palpation was unremarkable. Did indicate that the abdomen had a full appearance, but that could be from a lot of different things. So at that point, and sure, certainly in hindsight, maybe a different, more let's get an answer right away approach. Well, maybe the in-house blood work is a little less expensive. You think you can do that? Can I have a CBC in a case like that? Maybe I can't do the whole blood panel now, but a CBC is this much, and I'd like to have at least that. So it could have gone a different way on that initial exam. The administration of a steroid under this scenario, I think was without any foundation for doing so. Long-acting steroid merely compounds that, I believe, was a mistake, and might well have contributed to the conversion from pre-diabetic to diabetic, along with the septicemia. And I think everyone who brings their pet in wants them to feel better. So I don't think we just go administering steroids because the owner said, I want my pet to feel better. Then moving on to the 9-7, it seems that there's a question of whether this case was proceeding with a tentative diagnosis of neoplasia. I think the onus is on the doctors to make sure that the client understands the differential that I'm giving you. Clients do sometimes go off when they hear a word, but I think it's up to us then to make sure that they understand the differential that I'm talking about, and there's some definite differences between what the complainant is saying and what the respondent is saying regarding those conversations. So the respondent says he was recommended as soon as possible, but it didn't happen. And it seems like the complainant would have been probably, if given a different information in a different, more urgent manner, she may very well have proceeded to going ahead and getting a confirmation of the pyometra and therefore surgery much earlier. Communication issues, the total lack of communication between the doctors in this case, I think really contributed to the detriment. So pyometra diagnosis, at least for a while, and was totally missed in this case. And this pet, as we all know, the sooner you do pyometra surgery, the better. This pet became septicemic, diabetic in that time period, and was, I think, fortunate to have survived up till that point. So that's kind of the broad the case as I see in the case management, and I would be more than happy for the other members of the board to weigh in on it.
I agree with you. The polydipsia, as mm-hmm. you as a finding the owner's concern. I can't, I'm not opposed to use of steroids, but I can't think of one time where polydipsia is a clinical sign that I'm like, yeah, steroids are probably the way to go.
Yeah.
If anything, they're usually big no's in that type of case. So to your point, I think everything kind of lines up. The polydipsia, an older unspayed dog that should have been high on the differential list. I think we've got issues repeatedly on both sides of both of the doctors in this case. Notes are just lackluster. It's hard to follow. You don't really know what was conversed with the client, what was their thought process. It's just not there. So that makes it difficult. You know, to his point, it was mentioned, but it wasn't mentioned. If it's not in medical records, it didn't happen.
It's not in the records, right?
Yeah. So I agree with you.
Yeah, my concern is definitely more around the 9-7 visit. Because the initial visit, I can see, like, you recommend blood work, and yeah, you could have done just a CBC or you could have done something smaller, but I think at this point she's still confirming whether they can do the full panel or not. So you're kind of waiting to see if she's going to get authorization for payment, right? So now she has authorization for payment. You don't have a dog that's crashing on you. Right, so in his mind, I could see where you would say, I have a day or two to wait to see if we can get blood work. And then he's out of the case for a while. I think when the blood work started coming back, we missed an opportunity to discuss biometric, which I think we've already discussed. And then I think when the fluid request came in, I mean, yeah, there's no full exam because that wasn't done. That wasn't what they were coming in for. And it sounds like he discussed biometric, according to him, but nothing's in the record. And that's when I go, ooh, now we have a dog that's getting worse, a dog that has a extremely high white count, and I think, honestly, it was just missed. I think they missed that this was an unspayed dog, and closed pyometras do that to us sometimes. You assume all your old dogs are spayed, but...
Well, there was a last meeting with Dr. Maher. That was more of a discussion with her. Because there was, at one point, she had said that she was proceeding as if the dog was spayed in her thinking, mm-hmm. and then kind of reversed that.
Yeah.
I think Dr. McWhorter's been pretty consistent in saying that he was proceeding as if the dog was not spayed.
Yeah, I mean, I just think. That's that 9-7 time is when really I see that he had the first opportunity to course correct and fix this now, not 24 hours later when we come in for the ultrasound and the pyometra's diagnosed. Right? Like, I can get that he was out of town. He wasn't the one calling on the blood results. He wasn't doing any of that. But at the point that they're getting a request for fluids and you're looking at the blood results and you saw this case initially, I mean, that's the point where you should be going, yeah, I think this might be a pyo, or I think we need to do something more now, not wait on the ultrasound. So I guess that's where I have qualms with it, is just in that delay.
Mm-hmm.
And it is hard to, when, you know, the notes are so vague that it's like half the sentences I don't even understand what they mean. I'm like...
Right. Yeah, discussed pyometra in the record would have really helped.
So we have a motion.
Yes, I think the investigative committee's finding of ARS 32-22-32-12 as it relates to R311-5011 to the failure to communicate to the pet owner on September 7th the seriousness of the dog's blood results and not recommending the dog be brought back for reevaluation. I think that's sufficient. And then also I would like to add ARS 32-22-32-11 gross negligence for the administering a long-acting steroid to a patient exhibiting symptoms of illness without a diagnosis or presumptive diagnosis.
Motion on the floor and a second. Find two violations.
Do we want to take these together? Or should we vote on them separate?
We can vote right?
I would like to.
It was one motion.
If you'd like to separate for different discussion.
Yeah, I would like to vote on the first one separate from the depot. Because I might go one way on one and one on the other.
Okay, no, that's fair. Yeah.
Right now, they're tied.
Right, so let's separate them. On the first, do I need to read it again on the first one?
I think you have hyphen in it.
Yeah, the 32-22-32-12, the communication issues. I would make a motion that we find that violation as previously stated.
Second.
And a second. Having had discussion on that single.
Yeah, I guess what I'm struggling with is this is like strictly around communication, not whether things were missed, like not discussing Biometra. So I guess we have to decide, do you think we knew that he discussed Biometra and it just wasn't communicated well and sternly enough? Or do we think that that was missed altogether and Biometra wasn't mentioned? Because I don't really feel like it's a communication issue if you totally miss the fact that it might have been a Biometra. And that's where, and I'm kind of some of the things of giving the long-acting steroid, I don't agree with it under the situation that we were in, but I also go, I could see where doctors would have done that if their hands were tied and they were just trying to do something to make an animal comfortable. I don't necessarily know that that was what was going on in this case, but that seems to fall more under professionally acceptable procedures.
It seems to me, though, if you got on high, CBC came out with a super high white cell count like that, and you had given the horse a depo or the dog a depometer shot previous time proximate right before, that would be an alarm to me that maybe I would be on more hypersensitive that I need to be aggressive about, that I didn't just pre-treat a sick dog with an immunosuppressive drug. I mean, I can see giving it ahead of time, but then when you get the blood results, I think that in itself should be
that's where the seventh comes in.
That
going,
we need to get fluids and more stuff.
I need to get this dog in here and do something.
Just,
that's even
just
more
to mitigate
reason.
What
even
could
more
happen.
Reason, right?
And I agree with that. I just don't know on that first visit, we didn't have approval to do blood work. So
well,
probably not what I
yeah,
would have
the first. If that's the procedure, that's an acceptable procedure to send blood work in. Recommend it and then get it sent in. I think that's fine. In this particular case, I think with that history and signalment, it could have gone another way. So that's why there is no specific violation about that first visit other than the steroid administration.
But also the client is coming away with the take home that it's cancer.
Yeah, right.
First.
But that wasn't.
That came.
Right.
Yeah, that came after
right.
The
that's the
lab
ultimate takeaway, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Any other discussion? So we have a motion on the floor and a second to find a violation. And that one would be the ARS 32-22-12 R311-5011. Failure to communicate. Any other discussion? Let's do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Crager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohi?
What a day.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
That motion passed. Any other discussion motions?
Another motion. I find a violation, make a motion for a violation, ARS 32-22-32-11, gross negligence, for the administering a long-acting steroid to a patient exhibiting symptoms of illness without a diagnosis or presumptive diagnosis.
Second.
A motion on the floor and a second. Any further discussion?
Well, and can I just
ask for clarification with respect to that. Is it, did it result in injury or unnecessary suffering that we're finding?
Yes.
The unnecessary suffering?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, let's vote on that. Do a roll call.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Crager?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Lohe?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Motion passes.
The board has voted to find two violations. At next month's meeting, the board will consider adopting proposed findings of facts and conclusions of law, and after doing so, will then discuss and adopt disciplinary action. If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you for being here today.